Thanks, Dylan. And might I also say congratulations, Dylan. Some of you may not know this, but just last week, Dylan was officially accepted as an accredited minister with our Association of Baptist Churches in New South Wales and the ACT. So congratulations, Dylan, on that achievement. Very exciting. Well, over the last few weeks, we've been opening cans of worms all over the place. We've looked at a Christian response to vaccines and to lockdowns and to isolation. And today we're going to continue in that trend as we open a new can of worms and look at the topic of online church. Now, why don't you pray with me as we begin? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to meet together now. Please be preparing our hearts and minds for what you have to say to us. May you be glorified in this time and in all that we do. Amen. Well, it was the beginning of a new year at Bible College. After a relaxing break, I was ready to get back into the books, and it was also great to see all my Bible College friends who I hadn't seen for a few months. We shared stories of our summer breaks, and we shared what we were looking forward to in the year to come. But there was something different about these conversations compared to the conversations we'd had in previous years. And that's because the year that I'm talking about was 2020. And so all of our conversations were punctuated with discussions of this strange virus we'd heard emerging overseas. And as semester wore on, COVID came to dominate our conversations more and more. One week, a few of us were talking about COVID, and we were considering what would happen if churches had to stop meeting in person. And to this, one student gave a very interesting reply. They pointed to Hebrews 10:25, which says to not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. And so they concluded that churches should never give up meeting together in person. It seems like the New South Wales government didn't take things the same way, because just a few weeks later, most church activities were shut down due to coronavirus restrictions. Since then, churches, like everyone, have had to adapt, and most churches, including us, have adapted by going online. But is online church really church? Well, that's the COVID question we're going to be looking at today. Is online church really church? Now, when we ask that question, it immediately raises another question for us, and that is, what do we mean by church? A lot of you would probably be quick to answer and say that the church is not the building. So we might say, I'll meet you at the church, but we really know that that's not what we're talking about when we talk about church. Similarly, church isn't just a Sunday service. Someone might ask you what you did on the weekend, and you'd say, I went to church, by which you actually mean, I went to a Sunday service. But even then, we know that there's more to church than just a Sunday service. So, what is church then? Well, the Bible uses a number of different images to describe the church and help us understand it. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul recounts how God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. So then, the church is God's people. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul writes, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So the church is also the body of Christ. Now, in 1 John 3, it says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. We're all children of God. So that means we're all a part of the same family, of God's family. The church is God's family. And in Ephesians 2, it says that in him, that is in Jesus, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. The church is God's temple too, God's presence on earth. There are more images, but you get the gist of it. The church is more than a place, and it's more than just a Sunday service. Instead, the church is God's people, God's family. who together make up one body and who are God's presence on earth. When we're speaking about online church, though, we're not talking about any difference in those sorts of things, in the nature of the church. We're not asking the question, does online church mean that we're no longer the body of Christ? No, those things are fixed and given regardless of whether the church meets online or in person. Instead, what we're talking about with online church is we're talking about the activities of the church. So when we ask, is online church really church? What we're asking is, are digital equivalents of church activities appropriate replacements? So, are online Bible studies and sermons and communion and prayer meetings adequate replacements for in-person ones? Can pastoral care phone calls replace in-person conversations? Can breakout rooms after an online service replace fellowship over morning tea? Those sorts of things. We're asking, are the digital activities appropriate replacements, or is there something missing? Is online church really church? Now, before we jump in and consider it, I think it's worth noting a few things. Firstly, we all have different relationships with technology. Some of us love it, and others of us don't. Secondly, we've all had different experiences of lockdown, and we all have different responses to reopening. So watch out for how your thoughts on those issues affect your thoughts about online church. We're not asking, do you prefer online church? We're asking, is online church really church? All those definitions and notes considered, what we're going to do is look at some of the benefits of online church, some of the dangers of online church, and then see if we can come to any conclusions about online church. Benefits, dangers, conclusion. We'll start with the benefits, and one benefit of online church is that it allows us to continue our mission when we can't do it in person. It allows us to continue our mission when we can't do it in person. Christians are called to be God's witnesses and to make disciples. And during lockdown, our ability to do that would have been significantly hampered if it wasn't for online church. We weren't allowed to meet together in person. We weren't allowed to visit one another's houses. We were even encouraged to spend as little time outside of our house as possible. So if we hadn't had online church, then our functioning as a church, as the body of Christ, as God's presence in the world, would have been significantly hindered. As it is, we've been able to continue our witness throughout lockdown. Online church has meant that our Sunday services have continued to be available both to our regular congregation as well as to visitors and new people who don't yet know Jesus. Now, online church has meant the same for our Bible studies. My Bible study continued online during lockdown, and we've had visitors join us who wouldn't have been able to if we hadn't been meeting. Likewise, phone calls and text messages have enabled us to sustain our relationships with one another, even though we can't see each other in person. I think then that it's important for us to recognize that online church and the technology that enables it is an example of God's grace to us. Grace is getting something that we don't deserve, and God's ultimate grace is in him saving us through the death and resurrection of his son, Jesus. But God's grace isn't limited to just that act. God is gracious to us in so many different ways. Now, he gives us food and water and clothing and shelter and friends and family and employment and health and education, and on the list could go, all on top of his ultimate gift of salvation. Our God is a good and gracious God, and online church is just one example of his grace to us. James chapter 1 verse 17 says that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. Online church and the technology that enables it is a good gift from God, an example of his grace. So have you thanked God for his gift? Have you thanked God for his grace? And not just his grace given to us in Jesus, but is grace given to us in many other ways, including through online church. Online church has allowed us to continue our mission when we couldn't do it in person. So give thanks to God for his grace in providing online church for us. That's one benefit. Another benefit of online church is that it doesn't only allow us to continue our mission, but it also provides us with new mission opportunities. New mission opportunities. Online church allows us to connect with people who otherwise wouldn't be coming to church. And I think there are two categories of people here. First, it allows us to connect with people who would be unlikely to come to church otherwise. For whatever reason, these people are fine coming to online activities, but choose not to come to in-person ones. So they might decline an invitation to come to a service here in the building, but they're happy to watch one on Zoom. Or they might not come to a Bible study at a person's house, but they're happy to join it if it's online. They don't want to catch up over coffee to see how they're doing, but they're happy to text. That's the first category, people who are unlikely to come to church. And secondly, there are those who can't come to church in person. During the pandemic, we've had people connect with us who are housebound or who live interstate or overseas. And those connections just wouldn't be the same if it weren't for online church. I mean, sure, we could perhaps write those people letters or go and visit them occasionally if we hadn't been in lockdown. But online church allows us to develop a more regular and a deeper connection than we would otherwise have. In particular, online church gives us the ability to reach people who otherwise may never hear the gospel. I'm thinking especially about people who live in closed countries where it's illegal or severely restricted in terms of how they can preach about Jesus. Online church allows us to connect with people in these countries, to help them come to know Jesus, and then to help them grow in their faith. It lets us do things that otherwise wouldn't be possible. Online church gives us new mission opportunities. Some churches around the world have wholly embraced this benefit of online church. I was reading about an American church called Life Church that have put an enormous amount of resources into their online church presence. And what's particularly interesting about the way that they operate is that they run online church activities at all sorts of really crazy hours. It'll be the middle of the night in America and they'll be running an online church service. Why? Well, because while it's the middle of the night in America, it's the perfect time to connect with someone in a closed Asian, Middle Eastern or African country who's trying to find out about Jesus. This church is consciously making the most of the new mission opportunities that online church provides us with. So what about us? What about you? Are you making the most of the new mission opportunities that online church provides us with? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we need to invest lots of resources into our online church activities or that we need to start running Bible studies and services in the middle of the night. I personally quite like my sleep. But with online church activities that we currently have, are we making the most of them? Have you been inviting people to join us at our online church services? People who would be unlikely to join otherwise or who can't join us otherwise? Have you been calling or texting people outside of church to continue to build relationships with and care for them? Have you been welcoming those newcomers who do come to our online activities? It's pretty intimidating to join a Zoom meeting with 50 people you don't know. Online church gives us new mission opportunities, so let's make sure that we take full advantage of them. Now, even if many of us are now back in person, those opportunities still exist. So let's not forget them. Let's make the most of them. Online church then has its benefits. It allows us to continue our mission where otherwise we wouldn't be able to. And it provides new mission opportunities, allowing us to reach those who otherwise may not hear the gospel. But while online church has its benefits, I think it has some dangers too. So let's briefly look at those. One of the dangers of online church is that it risks diminishing the physical. It risks diminishing the physical. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, over the years, Christians have had to wrestle with the idea that we, humans, are both body and soul. We're both physical and we're spiritual. And those two ideas need to be held in tension, or else we risk misunderstanding our existence. If we lean too far towards the body and we hold that the physical is more important than the spiritual, well, then we risk overemphasizing the body and underemphasizing the soul. Now, in that case, health becomes the most important thing to be pursued at any cost. And whatever is pleasurable to my body is what I do. It also means you ignore and neglect the spiritual because it doesn't matter as much. This doesn't align with a Christian understanding of the world, because to neglect the spiritual is to neglect God, our creator and sustainer, the giver of life. And so as Christians, we're called to set our minds on things above rather than on earthly things. We can't lean too far toward the physical and so neglect the spiritual. But at the same time, if we lean too far towards the soul, then we risk another problem. We risk emphasizing the soul and neglecting the body. So then our physical experiences don't matter at all, and our bodies are seen as insignificant, and so we can use them and abuse them however we like. Again, this doesn't align with a Christian understanding of the world, because we're made as physical beings. That's part of our very essence, who we are. And that's a good thing. We see in the creation story how God forms Adam from the dust, from physical matter. And we also see how God calls his physical creation good. As if that weren't enough, we see the ultimate affirmation of our physical bodies when God himself becomes human. John 1:14 says, "The Word," referring to Jesus, to God, "the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." Jesus has a physical body. And so to deny the significance of our bodies and our physicalness is to deny the significance of Jesus' incarnation too. Now, of course, our bodies will deteriorate and decay over time, but that's not something to be enjoyed or encouraged. That's something to be mourned and to lament over. Humans are physical beings, so our bodies, our senses, our emotions are not to be neglected. And this is where I think a danger of online church emerges. It risks diminishing the physical side of church. I mean, sure, it's fine to sing by yourself to a recording, but isn't there something more when you're singing together with other people? And sure, it's fine to have fellowship and talk with one another over Zoom, but isn't there something more when you can look people in the eye as you talk to them? And sure, you can listen to a sermon at home, but isn't there something more when you're in the room and you can feel the atmosphere? Online church can't fully match the physical experience of church, and so it risks neglecting that side of our humanity and turning church into a purely spiritual thought exercise. Unfortunately, this is just the nature of technology. It's unable to match the experiences, the physical experiences that we have in our world. Even all the emerging technologies they're talking about in the metaverse still fail to do this. So we can't rely on technology to replace the physical in our lives. We can use it, sure. We can benefit from it, certainly. But we also need to have the physical if we're to have the full experience of church. Don't neglect the physical as you live your Christian lives. That's one danger of online church. It risks diminishing the physical. Another danger of online church is that it's easier to develop a shallow faith. It's easier to develop a shallow faith. Now, straight off the bat, I want to clarify, I'm not saying that it's impossible to develop a sincere and deep Christian faith if you only attend online church. But I am saying that it's a lot harder. And the main reason it's a lot harder is because it's also a lot easier to attend online church. I grew up as a pastor's kid, and now I'm a pastor myself. And so for a lot of my life, I've lived literally right next door to the church that I've attended. And because of that, I've always joked that I can wake up 5 minutes before a service starts and still make it on time. Now, with online church, that joke doesn't work anymore because everybody can do that. All you have to do to attend a Sunday service is click a link. And so now anybody can wake up 5 minutes before a service starts and still make it on time. No one's going to know. Likewise, you can join from the best spot in your house. That comfy chair where the sun hits you just right at 10 o'clock on a Sunday. You can join in your pajamas. If your webcam's off, who's going to know? Hungry? You can just go and fix yourself a snack halfway through a service or a Bible study. Don't like the music today? Well, you can just turn the volume down for the songs and turn it back up later. Getting bored of what's being said? You can just open a new tab and browse the internet while you're listening. Feeling confronted or uncomfortable with what you're hearing? Well, you can just hang up. Bad internet connection. Online church is easier to engage with, but it's also easier to disengage with. It's easier to participate in, but it's harder to participate in it well. Online church can be easy, but church isn't meant to be easy. Church isn't meant to be easy. Take some of those images for the church that we heard earlier. The church is the body of Christ. Now, I have good control over my body. I can make it do what I want. But if you give me a new movement to do that I haven't done before, I'm a total mess. My limbs are all over the place. I don't know what I'm doing. If I got most of us and I put us behind the drum kit, I think we'd quickly see how difficult it is to coordinate the different parts of our body. Or take the church as the family of God. That's never been difficult to be in a family, has it? Yeah. Church isn't meant to be easy. That's why Paul tells the Christians at Colossae to bear with each other and forgive one another. He wouldn't have to write that if being a part of the church was easy. Church is difficult, almost entirely because of other Christians. But we're to bear with one another and forgive one another. We're not to flee from the difficulty. We're to work through it and in so doing deepen our faith. This will be costly. It will cost us our time, our energy, our emotions. But it's a cost that we're called to make as followers of Jesus. This is a danger of online church. It makes it easy to participate, but at the same time makes it easy to develop a shallower faith. Beware this danger of online church. But this is not a danger solely of online church. Beware this danger of in-person church too. Don't think that just because you're around other Christians that your faith will automatically grow deeper. In-person church is not meant to be easy either. It still requires a commitment. It will still be costly too. So how costly is church for you? Whether you attend online or in person, how costly is church for you? Does it cost you any time or energy? Or is it really just quite convenient? Chances are that if it's not very costly, you won't see much spiritual development in your life. Reflect on that this week and consider if there are ways in which you can commit to and invest in the church. Your brothers and sisters in God's family, the body of Christ that you're a part of. Think and see whether church is costly for you and whether anything needs to change. Beware developing a shallow faith. So, online church? Well, it certainly has its benefits. It's allowed us to continue our mission when we couldn't in person, and it's opened up new mission opportunities that we should take hold of. At the same time, though, it's not without its dangers. There's the danger of diminishing the physical, and there's also the danger of developing a shallow faith. So, what can we conclude? Well, my conclusion is that online church is better than nothing, but it's not the best there is. It's better than nothing, but it's not the best there is. Now, if online church is all that you have available to you, then embrace it all wholeheartedly. By all means, embrace it as best you can. Get the most out of it. But if you have the choice between online church or in-person church, then I would strongly encourage you to connect with an in-person church. It will be difficult, it will be costly, but it will be worth it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you, the giver of every good and perfect gift. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for the grace that you showed on the cross as Jesus, your Son, died for our sins so that we could know you. But Lord, we also thank you for the many other ways that we experience your grace in our lives. We thank you for online church and the technology that enables it. Thank you that through it we've been able to continue in our mission and even have new mission opportunities while we were unable to meet in person. And we thank you for in-person church and all the benefits that brings too. Lord, we know that church, whether online or in person, is difficult, is costly. And so we pray that you would be giving us the strength to persevere with the church. Fill us with your love so that we can love one another. Fill us with your love so that we can love the world. Fill us with your love so that we can preach the good news of Jesus to the lost. Help us to live our lives, bringing glory to you in all that we do. Amen.